The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our gospel today, what it talks about is, it begins with that verse in the 12th verse, I believe. It's Mark 1:12. So we're just at the very beginning of the gospel of Mark. And what happens here in the gospel of Mark that we just proclaimed is that what? Jesus is tempted by the evil one, by Satan, for 40 long days after he had been fasting. That 40-day fast that Jesus is going through here is the basis for why we are engaged within our 40-day fast today. Lent is 40 days, we fast, and that's why. Because Jesus went through that same 40-day fast, and God then sent him out to do what he was called to do, just like the 40-day fast of Lent is us tearing everything down so that we can be built up again by Christ, led forward into the Easter transformation that's supposed to cover the rest of our lives. But do you know what happens in Mark 1:11? So first, right before here, you got those books right there. You've got the books. You can read what's going on there. You know what happens in Mark 1:1? I say it to you all the time. I know there's a lot of people here who aren't always here, but I say it all the time. All the time we talk about this, especially at baptisms. Do you remember what Mark 1:1 says? No? They're looking embarrassed because you were there at a baptism recently, I know. Well, what it says here is this. You are my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. That's what it says there. And this is probably the most important thing that you're going to hear. I've told you this many, many times, and as long as I'm here, you're going to hear it over and over and over again. It's the most important phrase, I think, in all of Scripture that speaks directly about you. About you. Mark 1:11, or Mark 1:1:1, who is God the Father speaking down from heaven at the baptism of Jesus and saying, Jesus, you are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. Brothers and sisters, he says the exact same thing to each of us on the day of our baptism. Because remember, in baptism, we take on the very identity of Christ. We become identified with him. And when the Father looks at us, he sees not us only, but he sees Christ in us, his beloved Son. And that's the thing that you most need to know is this, is that you are God's beloved Son. You're God's beloved daughter. You're the one upon whom God's favor rests. He takes pleasure in you, which means what? He's proud. He's proud to call you his son or daughter. And that is something that should transform everything about you. The problem is when we enter into the season of Lent is that most people begin Lent without paying any attention to Mark 1:1:1, Mark 1:11. And they certainly don't look at Mark 1:12. And those two verses there are integrally important for how Lent is supposed to take place. See, the first thing that they do is they forget Mark 1:1, and they forget that God has called them the beloved son, the beloved daughter of God, that God takes pleasure in them. Secondly, they forget Mark 1:12, and they begin to say, hey, this is what I'm doing for Lent. What's problematic with that statement? What's problematic with saying, this is what I'm going to do for Lent? It's pretty ubiquitous. Read verse 12, the very beginning of the gospel. What does it say there? Does it say there that Jesus decided to go out into the desert so that he could be tempted for 40 days by Satan? He didn't do that. What does it say? That the Spirit drove him out, that the Spirit led him out. The Holy Spirit led him out into the desert to be tempted for 40 days. So this is important for us. Four key facts that were given today about Jesus' first Lent. In just three verses, you can read it over and over again throughout this homily and just listen to Jesus. You don't have to listen to me. The four things are this. First and foremost, Jesus knows above all things when he enters into his Lent that his Father loves him. He's beloved of the Father, and that his Father is proud of him, proud to call him his son, takes pleasure in him. The second thing is that Jesus isn't doing any of this of his own will. It's the Holy Spirit that drives him out to do it. The third thing is that Jesus isn't going into the desert alone. Remember, the Holy Spirit is there with him every step of the way. And the fourth thing, which should just blow your mind, is that the angels are there helping Jesus out the entire time. That's incredible. And so these are four facts that are not just about Jesus' Lent, but we're identifying with Christ. They're four facts about our Lent in 2018. This is our Lent. This is what is going on now. So first, as we enter into Lent, we have to know above all things that God, our Father, loves us. He takes pleasure in us. Have you ever thought about why we fall into sin? Why do we fall into sin? So often we fall into sin. The reason is this, because we're empty. We're empty inside. We feel that emptiness in there. And then when we feel that emptiness, what happens is that the world, the flesh, and the devil, those three enemies of the soul, come in and attack us. They come in and send their temptations into us. And then we begin to think to ourselves and say, that sounds like a pretty good temptation. I think that's the thing that's going to hit the spot. I think that's the thing that's going to fill me. And does it? It doesn't. It leaves us empty. Leaves us still feeling empty there afterwards. Because why? Because we're not filled. We listen to those things because we're not filled already with the knowledge of being loved by our dad. By God the Father. We don't fill ourselves with that knowledge, and so we're willing to be filled with other things. Junk food that doesn't satisfy. If we're going to succeed in this Lent, the first thing that we need to know is who we are, and that means beloved son, beloved daughter. That's who you are. Above all things, that God is proud to call you his child. And if you don't know that, first and foremost, you're going to have a terrible Lent. Most of us, when we pray, what happens is that, what do? We begin to focus deeply into ourselves. We begin navel gazing. We begin looking at ourselves and we say, well, I'm not good enough, God. God, I'm not worthy enough to be with you. I'm no good. There's nothing good in me. I'm so sinful. I don't have my act together, God. I can't believe that you'd love me or even want to use me in any sort of way. We begin thinking in those sorts of patterns. You know, there was a number of people who stepped into my office or I talked to on the phone or that I send messages to or I encountered on the streets, and they had that exact same attitude, didn't they? Exact same attitude. They said, Father, look, I'm no good. I'm no good. I don't have, because of this, God can't use me in any sort of way. I know he can't. I have a past and everybody knows about it. So I can't do anything for God because they just keep talking about these things. Father, give up on me. That's a sad place to be, isn't it? A sad place to be because that's 100% the opposite of what God actually thinks about us. The exact same, that's the opposite thing of what God wants for us. God doesn't want us to focus on ourselves, upon our weakness, or about what anybody else thinks about us. That's not what he cares about. He wants us to focus only on him. His opinion is the only thing that matters about it, the only thing that speaks life into us. And if we want to have that life in abundance like we've talked about so many times, we just got to focus on God. So when we go to pray, we're focusing on ourselves. What does God say? Basically just says this. How could you come into my presence and stay focused on you? Why don't you come into my presence and focus on me? Why don't you listen to my voice? Why don't you put your attention just on me? Brothers and sisters, when we put our attention on God, who is our Father, we're going to hear him say over and over and over again in the silence of our hearts, you are my beloved. You're the one I take pleasure in. And when we begin to hear that, then God is going to be able to send us out into the desert to make us strong, to strengthen us. And when you do so, when you are sent out into the desert, you're not going to be alone. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you there, guiding you every step of the way. Let's sit there for a moment. To be led by the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? How are we led by the Spirit? You know, there's a simple way that you and I can tell whether we're being led by the Spirit in Lent or not. A ubiquitous question, an easy one. Think about it. What is it that you gave up for Lent? What is it that you took on for Lent? What are those things? When you come up with what that is, you remember it. Was it the Holy Spirit that led you to make that decision to do that thing? Was it through a bunch of prayer that you set out in that direction? Or was it just because you wanted to do it? Was it just because that's what you always do, because you're leading yourself, because it's your tradition? You know, there's a lot of people who've come up to me, not anybody from here, but there's a lot of people who've come up to me, and when I've talked to them about this, they say, Father, that's what I always do. That's what Lent is for me. I always take these steps. I always fast from that thing. I always take on that thing. It's my tradition. It's what I do. And nothing that you say, Father, is going to change that. I don't care what you have to say. I'm doing my thing. Where's that coming from? Where's that coming from? You see, that's not what Lent is about. Lent, that misses the point. Lent is about not you. It's about God. It's about God entering into your life in a new way to lead you forward so that you can be what God has ultimately called you to be in your baptism, in your confirmation, and so that you can actualize that within your life, to be led by the Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus entered into his first Lent, he entered into the desert. Jesus didn't do it because he wanted to, because that was his will, because that was his tradition. Even though he was God, he still obediently followed the Spirit, doing whatever it was that he said to do. That's the question we got to ask ourselves is, have we asked God, what do you want me to do in this Lent? And that way you can begin to pray with God and say, as I deal with those struggles, those temptations, I am going to remember that I am your beloved child and that you're proud of me. But what do you want me to accomplish in this Lent? What's your plan? Because when we ask God first, we begin to know and realize that he is the one who has the most effective plans for our lives anyway. It's not us that has the effective plans, it's God. And when we do so, we're not going to be alone. And we do it as his beloved ones. You know, there's something even greater than that that happens in Lent. What's more is that when we go through Lent and we do it the right way, we're going to do it with the angels ministering unto us. Have you ever thought about that? Imagine that for just a moment. When you are there in the midst of your struggles that are going on in Lent, when you're tempted as we are in Lent, when you give up those things that you're fasting from, or when you show mercy to those who you're showing mercy to with your alms, or when you dive deeper into your prayer, angels are around you at every moment, ministering to you, giving you help. Has that ever occurred to you? That the angels are always around you, giving you those good inspirations to do the good that you want to do, giving you the strength that you need in that moment when you feel so weak, and all they're doing is they're handing these things out. We just got to pay attention and receive, to recognize their presence as they're ministering to us. That's what happens in Lent. Whether or not you've ever thought about that or not, that's actually what happens. It happens every single Lent. So in Lent, God reminds us that we are his beloved ones. He leads us out into the desert and he says, I'm going to be with you. You don't have to worry about doing anything ever by yourself. He also gives us his angels to minister to us at every moment, giving us strength. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. We don't need to look deeply into ourselves and focus on our weaknesses or our failings or what everybody else is saying about us. It's God, the Lord, our Father, who makes us worthy through his own love of us. We look instead at the Holy Spirit who's always leading us and guiding us, and we keep our eyes focused on the fact that the angels are here around us ministering to us at every moment. In this Lent, stay focused upon our Father. Stay focused upon the fact that he calls you his beloved, that he takes pleasure in who you are. Stay focused on the Holy Spirit who is there guiding you. Stay focused on the angels who at every moment are ministering to you strength and inspiration. And brethren, if you do that, you're going to have the best Lent ever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.